O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. It is important every Sunday, it's important every day to know, to confess, to believe, to trust that Christ is risen, that the tomb could not hold him, will not hold him, that he is alive, and those who are in Christ Jesus are protected and safe, have an identity that will not go away, will not be changed because they are in him, we are in him. Identity. That's my question for you this morning. Well, it's going to be my question. Who are you? What is it that defines you? In the end, what will be, or even right now, what is the most important thing about you that other people should know? The thing that endures. Identity is something that is really the core of who we are and what we are, and yet there's always a struggle to wonder what is it that is the most important thing about me or you when you boil it all down in the end. Lord, have mercy. There are vignettes in the Indianapolis Star today, stories about, I don't know if it's all eight people that were killed on Friday morning. Lord, have mercy. It's awful. And you can scroll through them, and I read a couple of them, and one of them that stands out, and I think it hits way too close to home for many of us, is a young lady that her family said of her that she is known by her Savior. She knows her Savior. That the most important thing, I think, if you would ask them, if you would have, and some of you got to ask her about her, is that she is known by Jesus, that she is held by him, that because he has been raised in the end, although her body is dead, it will be raised to new life again one day. And so all the time we are wrestling with this, or maybe we're not, but we should. What is it that defines you? Who are you? And whether, boy, there's all kinds of pop references for that. Who are you? Who are you? That's for you, Pete. Whether it is the Who, whether it is Jean Valjean in Les Miserables, who am I? Is he 24601? Is he Jean Valjean? Whether it is... it is in Shrek the Musical, where Shrek says, "This is who I'd be, a hero with sword, with sword and armor, flashing." Is that right? A hero semi-dashing, something like that. Or there's a more recent song by the group Need to Breathe. It's called "Who Am I?" And the question is, "Who am I to be loved by you?" And I don't know that it's just romantic love that the singer is asking his wife, "Who am I to be loved by you?" But asking God, "Who am I to be loved by you?" And I know there are more songs because it's a popular question. It's an important question that we should wrestle with when everything else fades away, but one thing remains. Maybe the memory remains. You are a child of God. You are in Christ Jesus. I think, though, the temptation is to be defined by anything and everything that isn't Jesus. To find our identity in things that pass away. You may think that the Firestone Bridgestone guy, Greg Howe, is the most important thing, but then a company could be sold. And then who are you? You may think that it was English teacher at Warren Central, and you're not teaching anymore. You may think it's that you are from Nebraska. I guess you still are from Nebraska, Pastor Luke. But what is it that defines you? The truth is, you are not defined by your greatest achievement. And some of you know the character Uncle Rico in the classic movie Napoleon Dynamite, who is, in his mind, he is the greatest quarterback to ever grace the gridiron. And you could see him flick a ball just like that. But you're not defined by your greatest achievement. On the other hand, you're not defined by your most visible gaffe or failure. You're not defined by your pet sin or any peculiar proclivity that you think is unique to you. We're not defined by our grievances or victimhood or our lack of grievances or victimhood. We are defined, we are found, we abide in Jesus. And that is the hope and reality that St. John continues to, not only did he live that out as he was called to follow Jesus, as he was there with Jesus all the way through Galilee to Gethsemane to Calvary to see that the tomb is empty, to see Jesus and to confess that he is risen, that he was there to watch Jesus ascend into heaven, that he listened and still proclaims, and you and I share that our identity, that our hope is in him, that we're called to abide, to remain in Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. If the Son defines you and holds on to you, you are a child of God." And that then is what St. John shares with us this morning from 1 John 3. That we are children of God. So John says, see what kind of love or what sort of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. I'm indebted to Dr. Jeff Gibbs for kind of the central part of this sermon. It's something that he preached like 9 or 10 years ago. And it just was so beautiful the way that he put it together. And maybe because he is a seminary professor, part of the sermon was to be very specific about who Jesus is. And one of the things that we should note this morning is that only Jesus is the Son. Only Jesus is the Son of God. John the Baptist knew that. He said, "I am not the Christ." You are not the Christ. You and I are not the Son of God. I mean, I hope that would be obvious, but we are not the Son of God. However, we are the children of God. And to be the children of God is to also understand a broader concept of family resemblance. That Jesus, the Son of God, is the perfect image of the Father. He is the spitting image of his Father. God is love. God the Father showed his love for us in this. He demonstrated his love for us in this, in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is true light and love. There's only one, that one, who is the Son of the Father. Jesus is the Son of the Father by right. He has legitimate, actual claim to his sonship. He is the Son of the Father not only by right, but also by deed. From beginning to end, he was there from before the world was spoken into creation. All things were created in him and through him and by him. He holds them together from beginning to end. Only Jesus is the Son. But see, what sort of love, what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. John is taking a step back here and considering, contemplating in wonder and amazement, it shouldn't actually be true. It wasn't easy to make it happen. The concept, pretty simple. We had to be reborn. We heard these things last week in 1 John 1 and 2. We were walking in darkness and we had to be brought into the light. We were living a lie and we had to be brought into the truth. After all, if we would be so foolish as to say that we have no sin, we would be deceiving ourselves, and the truth, Jesus, is not in us. But see, right there, what kind of love? God loved the world in this way, that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish or be on the path to death, but have life, life eternal. Because of the promise, when that water came down on you and me, those words that were spoken to you and me, you and I are children of God because of the Son of God. But John goes on to say that the reason that the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. If you know who Jesus the Son is, you'll know who the Father is. You'll also know who those who are a part of the family. But apart from Christ, you won't know. You can't see. But John says, beloved, right now, we are God's children now. But then what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. So what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I mean, you're a child of God. I don't care if you're 8 months old, 8 years old, or 88 years old. You're a child of God. We never outgrow being a child of God. But we do grow to be more like our big brother. What you and I will be has not yet appeared. Not yet. He has not returned yet. But you and I will be like Jesus. As He is love, so you will be love. As He is pure, so you will be pure. As He loves and does righteousness, so will you and I love and do righteousness. As He has loved us, so we will love one another. You and I are children of God, and we grow to be more like the Son of God. So what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I hope the answer is I want to be like Jesus. Not like Mike. If I could be like Mike. No, I want to be like Jesus. Now, though, we are children of God. But one day we will be like Jesus, and as I think only Dr. Gibbs would say it, one day you will be like Jesus, and that will make you a joy and a privilege to live with forever. I say that to my wife and children. One day I'm going to be like Jesus, and that will make me a joy and a privilege to live with forever. But lest you be so quick to laugh at me, I'll tell you, one day you will be like Jesus, and that will make you a joy and a privilege to live with forever. Because as Pastor Luke is learning, the people, you all, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are the best and worst part of the church. But we have hope. because we're growing to be more like Jesus. And so John says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. He says, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. It's not merely or only missing the mark or an indiscretion or just fell off a little bit. No, it is rebellion against our Heavenly Father, rebellion against God. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. John is very straightforward here, and this abiding, remaining in Jesus is something that in 1 John alone, I think he says it something like 16 times. So no one who abides in him, in Jesus, keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Like, sin actually kills. Not something just to explain away. Well, God doesn't really mind my sin. I mean, your sin is a huge problem. My sin? God doesn't mind. No. Not about being so worried about the speck in your neighbor's eye as to miss the log in our own eye. No, sin kills. But in Christ Jesus, there is forgiveness and new life and an identity that is not just you or me being defined by our sin. But it is to know and to trust that we are children of God. Little children, John says, let no one deceive you. Satan, the father of lies, the deceiver, he is out there. He wants to deceive you. And the old Adam, the old Eve, is easily enticed. But whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. So be who you are, like Jesus. So one day, you will be like Jesus, and so will I, and that will make us a joy and a privilege to live with forever. But until then, what do? We purify ourselves. When you see sin, when you see darkness in your life, when you see something that looks not like a child of God, but a child of the devil, turn away from it. When you see apathy and resentment and anger and, we'll fill in the blank. Whatever those things are that are the opposites of the fruits of the Spirit, when you see those things, turn away from it. Give it over to the cleansing blood of Jesus. As John says, do not make a practice of sinning. Interrupt the practice. Repent. Know that in Christ Jesus, you are forgiven and free. You are a child of God. The slave is not a part of the household, but if the Son sets you free, you are a child of God and you are in the house forever. So John says in the end, don't abide in sin, but abide in Christ, who abides in you, who holds on to you. We trust that we abide in Christ and He in us, that He is not going back in the tomb. Nothing in all of creation will put Christ back in the tomb, but it is scary. I mean, it is really easy to say Christ is risen, but, and it is simple, but to believe it In spite of the evidence around us, that's to live and walk and abide in Christ Jesus, to encourage, to exhort, to comfort one another, that our focus, our hope is always in Jesus, to see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be, because He has called us, not that we have defined ourselves, children of God, and so we are. To Christ Jesus be the glory. Now may the peace that passes understanding guard your hearts and minds in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our big brother, who puts us before our Heavenly Father. Amen.